Sometimes things in life and things in church get done over and over and over again, and there's no ongoing explanation of what those things are or why we're doing them. And after a while, people begin to assign their own interpretation and their own meanings to these activities, which leads to all kinds of problems and all kinds of misunderstandings about things that happen in the church. So today, we're at message number 8 in our doctrinal series, and we're going to take a look at both baptism and the Lord's Supper for a few minutes today. Now, you remember that we are using the Baptist Faith and Message as a springboard, and that is our confessional statement as Southern Baptist, and we've been using that. So let me read to you what the Baptist Faith and Message says about baptism and the Lord's Supper. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. The believer's death to sin, the burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. Being a church ordinance, it is a prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience whereby members of the church, through partaking of bread and fruit of the vine, memorialize the death of the Redeemer and anticipate his second coming. Now, guys, we find the scriptural mandate for these ordinances in Matthew 28:19, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Then in Matthew 26:26-28, it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them," or he gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, as we read through the New Testament, we find several other teachings about the Lord's Supper and about baptism. I think it's important for us to understand why in Southern Baptist life we call these two things in our church ordinances and not sacraments. There's a vast difference. You see, according to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, a sacrament is something by its very nature is a means whereby the grace of God is conveyed. In other words, that means that they teach that when one is baptized or when one takes forgiveness or takes communion, by the very act of doing those things, then their sins are forgiven. We don't believe that. As Baptists, we believe that grace comes from faith alone and is given as a free gift of God. So, let me define an ordinance for you. An ordinance is a command which our Lord has directed us to obey. It is symbolic in nature and carries with it all the blessings which normally accompany obedience. So we're going to begin by looking at baptism for a few minutes. I want you to understand that first and foremost, baptism is a personal act of obedience. If someone is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if in fact they have chosen to surrender control of their lives to him, then the natural thing would be to desire to be obedient to him. In the Great Commission, after commanding his disciples to baptize He directs them to teach the new believer to observe or obey all that he has commanded. Okay? We need to understand that baptism is the very first step in a lifelong journey of obedience to Jesus Christ. The understanding that baptism is an act of obedience is why we as Southern Baptists feel so very, very strongly about requiring baptism for church membership. You see, we want members of our churches that are obedient to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We don't want members, on the other hand, that will ignore what Jesus has instructed us to do. When we talk about baptism as Southern Baptists, we are talking about believers' baptism. Did you realize that only believers are called to obey Jesus Christ? The lost world isn't. Those without a relationship with him aren't called to be obedient to him. They're called to believe in him. But as believers, we are called to be obedient to him. We believe that the scriptures teach us to baptize only those people who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes someone says to me, "Preacher, I think I need to be baptized." Why do you need to be baptized? "Because I've never been baptized." That's not a good reason. Or "because I want to be baptized." That's not a good reason. Or "because I want to join the church." That's not a good reason. The only reason to be baptized is because I have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he has forgiven my sin and given me new life, and out of obedience to him and following his example, I want to be baptized. That's the reason why we should be baptized. Now, I know some denominations, and I grew up in one of those. Some denominations practice what they call infant baptism. Tell me what babies believe about Jesus. About the same thing that my 10-week-old puppy does. Nothing. They have no comprehension whatsoever. Those churches that baptize babies teach that either by baptizing the baby, they are either washing away its sins, or that they are initiating that child into the community of faith. And by doing so, they're enabling that child to go to heaven if they are to die before they get old enough to make a decision of faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't teach that. We don't practice infant baptism because we can't find anywhere in the scripture where it is taught, where it was practiced, or where it even indicates in the slightest that we ought to be baptizing babies. Instead, we find the scriptural teaching that baptism is reserved for those who have made a conscious, willing decision to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their lives. Yes. Now I'm about to upset somebody, because I'm about to tell you that as Southern Baptists, we do not believe that baptism has anything to do with salvation. It does not save you. It does not accompany faith in Jesus Christ to complete the act of salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience. In the lives of those that have already been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. There are those that believe that baptism is the second step in salvation. The first step being faith in Jesus Christ, the second step being baptism. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches us that we come to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. So that no one may boast. I'm going to say it one more time. Baptism does not save us. I was teaching a new members class 30 or so years ago, and I had a lady in my church that one of the dearest friends I ever had in ministry. She was in her 70s at that time. Her husband had died some years before, and we got to the discussion on baptism, and as I explained to her that baptism is not required, or to the group actually, that baptism was not required for salvation, and went through the Scripture and showed various things, she began to tear up. Now, she had been a Southern Baptist all of her life. She had been in Sunday school most of that life. She had studied the Bible, and she had been faithful prayer, and she had been in the choir, and she had done all kinds of things, and she had a good relationship with God. But since the day that her husband died, even though he had made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, he had not been baptized. Since the day that he died, she had worried that he could not be in heaven because he'd never been baptized. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not Bible. That is somebody's tradition. We need to know what the Bible says about these things. Secondly, baptism is the perfect symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It symbolizes our death to ourself and our burial, our immersion in Jesus Christ, and our resurrection to walk in newness of life with Him. That's why, that's one of the reasons why baptism by immersion makes so much sense to me. It's symbolic of what Jesus Christ has already done, and symbolic of what I've done in faith and trust in Him. Not to mention that the Greek word that's translated baptize is baptismo, which means to immerse, to be totally immersed. When we talk about being baptized by the Holy Spirit, it means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. It means to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, fully covered by the Spirit of God. When we take that act of water baptism as a symbolism of what God through Jesus Christ has done in our lives, and we go down in the water and we come back up out of the water, we're immersed in that water as a symbolic thing of being immersed in the death and life of the Lord Jesus Christ and resurrected in newness of life in Him. It's a perfect example. Paul said in Romans 6, 4, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Now, I'm going to say something here about the Baptist faith and message that you haven't heard me say yet. Remember when we were looking at what it said about baptism, it said as an ordinance of the church, it is a prerequisite to church membership and to the Lord's Supper. Well, baptism is an act of obedience and is an ordinance of the church, and the Lord's Supper is an act of obedience and is an ordinance of the church. Both of them are equally acts of obedience. You already know, if you're a member of this church and you've been here for any time, you already know that I do not believe you have to be baptized to partake of the Lord's Supper. I believe that the Bible teaches us you have to be saved. Okay? We require baptism for church membership because it's an act of obedience, and we want our members to be obedient to the teachings of Jesus Christ. I look at the disciples sitting around the table at that Last Supper, and I see Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, and he shares with them and tells them what to do and why to do it and what it's all about. And I know that none of them were baptized. Just like I see the thief on the cross dying and Jesus saying to him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise," and I know he wasn't baptized. They didn't take him down to the river before he died. So when we serve the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, you will hear me say that if you've come to Jesus Christ in faith with him, you're invited to partake. You will not hear me say if you've been baptized or if you're a member of this church, because I can't find that in the Bible. When the Baptist Faith and Message was updated in 2000 and the latest edition was published, I wrote a letter to then the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I said, "I have a problem with this one statement. Can you please explain it to me?" And his reply was, "That's just the way it is." I did not get a response that had any explanation. Joe Henry, if you can enlighten me on that any differently, I'll be glad to listen to you, brother. But I can't go there. So let's talk about the Lord's Supper a little bit. The bread is symbolic. Get that word, please. Symbolic of the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Indeed, his body was broken, his hands and his feet pierced with spikes, his side pierced with a spear, his brow pierced with the crown of thorns. Indeed, he was broken. Each time that we take the bread in the Lord's Supper, we should be reminded of his substitutionary death as Jesus gave up his life for you and me. You see, his body was broken so that our souls could be healed, because we're dead and broken without him. Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." And the church said, "Hallelujah." The cup is symbolic of the blood of the covenant. In the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, it was based on the blood of the sheep or the blood of the oxen, whereby the high priest would have to go into the temple once a year and make atonement for the souls of the people, for the sins of the people. But then Jesus died. And when Jesus died, he fulfilled the law and instituted the new covenant, or the new testament, which is ratified and established on the strength of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. His blood shed on the cross at Calvary was poured out for your sin and my sin. His blood shed, poured out for our forgiveness. Now you notice I didn't use the word spilt. And I didn't use the word taken. His blood was shed. Just like I shed a coat. He gave it. His blood was poured out. You know, you don't pour out something by accident. I've spilled a lot of things in my life. Made a big mess with them. And that's usually what happens when you spill something. You make a mess. But Jesus didn't make a mess. He intentionally poured his blood over my sin-darkened soul to cleanse it and wash away the sin so that I might be welcome into the family of God and seen by the Father as holy, washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's poured out. When we take that cup, we're remembering his shed blood, his pouring out of his blood. We are reflecting on the sacrifice that he made for us and being reminded of the covenant between us and God, of the relationship between us and God. The covenant, the relationship, the promise that has been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Being reminded of that covenant, God, guys, really ought to have a profound effect on our lives. When we take that little cup and we put it to our lips and we drink that juice, we are symbolizing the blood of Jesus Christ being held by him and poured into, over, and through us to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to know that. Being reminded of that ought to humble us beyond belief. The Lord's Supper calls us to remember the promise of his coming again. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim," you do what? You do what? You proclaim. You shout, you tell others, by drinking this cup and eating this bread, you tell others that Jesus Christ is coming again. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, guys, we need to remember the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, but we cannot possibly stop there. We cannot stop with just remembering the death. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back in power and glory. He's not coming back to be beaten. He's not coming back to be humiliated. He's not coming back to be spit upon. He's not coming back to be crucified. He's coming back in power and in glory to claim the church that he has bought with his shed blood and receive the church unto himself so that we might for all eternity be with him. Because he has redeemed. I like that word. He's redeemed. I look around and I know that there are a few people in here that aren't old enough to remember or to get this. Most of you will. It used to be an exciting time in my house when I was a child. When Mom and Daddy would say, "Come on, let's go." "Where are we going?" "We're going to go to the green stamp store." "When we get to the green stamp store, we're going to redeem. And we're going to come home with things." So you could take these booklets full of green stamps that you had gotten from merchants when you purchased stuff in their stores, and you stuck them in all these books. And after you collected a pile of books, you could go to the green stamp store and you could give them their books, and you could get bicycles and picnic baskets and clothes hampers and all kinds of things that you might want to use at your house. And if they had a few extra left over, you could get some toys to take home with you too. Redeemed. We bought stuff without any money. My soul was bought without any money. It just cost the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed because of Jesus. These ordinances call us to remembrance, both of them. They call us to live life in a different way. They call us to reflect. The ordinance of baptism calls us to reflect on whether or not we are truly followers of Jesus Christ. Boy, howdy. You stand up there in that baptistry, you're about to be put under the water, and I say to you, have you come to the place in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you have to answer that question, yes or no. You have to dig inside of you and find out, did I do this? And those of you that are sitting in the pews are slapped upside the head by the Holy Spirit and said, where are you? We're reflecting. Are we truly followers of Jesus Christ? You see, this is a public testimony that Jesus has become the Lord and the master of your life. It means life is different than it used to be. It's a call to remember what it is Jesus did for us and why it was necessary for him to die for us. Not only to remember that he shed his blood and his body was broken for us, but to remember why he had to do that. And if you say, I don't know, I wasn't such a bad guy, you got a problem. You see, he had to do that because we all are sinners. Some saved by grace now. Some needing to be saved by grace. Each time we take the cup and the bread, we are to remember whose we are. And the price that he paid to redeem us and bring us back from that penalty of sin. Remember whose we are. I've often said to young people as they were going off on a particular journey, maybe going to college or maybe going into the military or taking other adventures or mission trips or other things, I've often looked at them and I say, as you go, I want you to remember not only who you are, but whose you are. I want you to remember who your Father is. And the Lord's Supper calls us to remember whose we are. It's also a call to repent. When we take the cup and the bread, we remember all that Jesus has done for us and allow his Holy Spirit to show us things in our life today which are inconsistent with our profession of Christianity, things that we should repent of before we partake of these elements. And it's a call to reconcile. The scripture teaches us that if we have something against a brother or sister, that we ought to go to that person and confess it before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And it's a call to recommit. After reflecting on the authenticity of our walk with God, and after remembering what Jesus has done for us, and remembering whose we are and who we are in Jesus, and after having the opportunity to repent of our sins and reconcile with one another, each time we take the cup and eat of the bread, we're called to recommit ourselves once again to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to allow His Holy Spirit to have absolute, total, unreserved control of our lives. Each time. So you know this is coming. We're to the place of asking questions now. You know, sometimes I only ask one question at the end of a service. Not so today. So let's think about some questions. What is God saying to you about the condition of your heart this morning? You see, that's a question that all of us need to answer, whether we have come to faith in Jesus Christ or not. We may have been a believer in Jesus Christ for the last 80 years, or for more years than we weren't before we were saved. That's okay. The question still is valid. What is God saying to you about the condition of your heart this morning? Secondly, has He spoken to you this morning about something that you need to get right? There's some reflecting going on in here now. Has He spoken to you about something you need to get right with Him? Thirdly, is there a brother or sister that you need to be reconciled to? Fourthly, is this the day that you need to recommit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Not that you're not saved, not that you don't love the Lord, but just that your relationship with God through Jesus Christ is not where it needs to be, and I'm not as fully surrendered to His Lordship as I ought to be. And lastly, is today the day that you need to receive God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If you don't know that, today is the day that you need to receive God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we cannot overstate Your love. We cannot overstate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Would You speak as You have already been doing to our hearts today? Would You rebuke the enemy from this place? As You speak to hearts and minds, would You give each one clarity of understanding of just what it is Your Holy Spirit is saying to them? And God, would You encourage Your people to take that step this morning, to accept Christ as Savior, to recommit their life to Your Lordship, or to reconcile with a brother or sister. And we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.